So, good morning. Once again, we are here. God is good all the time. He has been with us, and He will be with us all the time. We do believe that God is moving in supernatural ways and keeping us saved from the evil eyes that is around and surrounding us. Like in Peter, 1 Peter 5 say that the demon and the evil is around and trying to devour our lives. But God is keeping us saved, in a safe place. In Him we can rest. In Him we can have a time of rest. So let's pray once again and ask God to speak to us this morning, to speak to our hearts, to our spirit, to our soul, that we can be full of His words. Father, we once again we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the songs we sing to you. We thank you for the praises. We thank you because you are with us. You are surrounding our life with your protection, with your ways. We thank you because you have kept our life until here saved, and you will be keeping us saved every day, every single moment in our life will be saved in you. We thank you, Jesus, because when we look at your word, we see that your truth is overcoming what we are living today. We thank you because you left a word for us to follow. You left an instruction. You left a way that we can follow and that we can find life in our daily life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And just to give you some feedback in my travel there, during our time, my time there for, I was there for a week. We had over 23 baptisms there. People who has all new believers that has stepped into God's family. And we have more. So we'll show you some photos for you to see how we do there. Just some photos for you to see. That's okay. How God is moving there. We were so glad to see what God has been done in that country. So let's keep praying that God will keep safe to these people that got baptized this week. So let's look at the Bible in number 13. I will speak about several passages in the Bible, but one main thing that I want to focus is the truth is always overcome the fact. The fact we live today has been truth before. Today we can accept Jesus as our Savior. But the truth is that 2,000 years ago He has saved us already. God has set up a plan for us to be saved today. And that we, most of the time, we live what the facts say in our faith. We don't look the truth. The truth is that I'm saved, but today I'm living the fact the life is bringing on me. On number 13, it tells about the story of the spies when they were sent to spy the land, the 12 men. As Moses brought out the people of Israel from Egypt, they were facing the land. They were just few moments to possess the land God had promised to them. And Moses sent these 12 men to see the land, what had inside the land. And that these 12 men went. When they come back in number 13, we'll say they report back to Moses what they had seen, what they saw in the land, what the land had in, what the land would give to them. And that some of these men, about 10 of them, look at the fact what had in the land. And they said to Moses, the land has giants. The land had it. The land has lots of problems. It's not the land God has given to us. In the verse number 30, number 13, verse number 30 will say how they sold the land. They sold to Moses. They sold to Moses, we cannot possess this land because there is lots of giant there. And we look like a grasshoppers in their eyes. So they looked themselves as they could not possess the land. But there was two men that did not look at the fact. They looked at the truth. And the truth was that God has given that land to them. And Caleb and Joshua said, let's go and take possession of this land. Because certainly God has given to us. You see the difference of these two group of people in the same place, living the same thing, but looking differently. 10 of them were looking at the fact, but 2 of them was looking at the truth that God has given the land to them to possess. And that these 10 of men, they looked themselves as they could not do what God has given to them. And that is where there is a huge difference in our faith today. We most of the time focus our faith in the fact, what is for us today. What is for us today. But Jesus calling us all the time to look to our faith in what was before, what he has brought into existence, the truth that he has given to us. There is another man in Samuel, 2 Samuel, I think, number 20, chapter 23. Let me just check here if it's 2 or 1st. Yes, 2 Samuel 23, verse number 11 and 12. Have you heard about this man called Shammah? What is his name? Yes, that man is Shammah, you say English? Have you heard about this man before? Have you read about him? His name is just in this two verses, in the whole Bible. His name does not appear anymore in the Bible. But he did one thing. He lived in the truth, not in the fact. And the verse number 11 say that next to him was Shammah, son of Agi. When the Philistine banded together at the place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistine down. And the Lord brought about a great victory to him. You see that he did not look at the fact. The fact was he was alone and that he could not win the battle. But the truth was that he could win in God. And that he did 3 things. He stand firm. He stood firm in what he believed. In what his faith was based in. His faith was not based in the fact that he could be overthrown by the enemy. His faith was based in the truth that he could overthrow the enemy by God's grace. He stood firm. He defended the field. He defended what he believed was his possession. And that he fight for it. So 3 lessons this man that appears in the Bible only in these 2 verses left to us. To stand firm in what we believe. To defend what we believe. And to fight for what we believe. That is a faith based in the truth. Not based in the fact that the life brings us each day. So we can see in Psalm 1 says about the tree. When a tree is planted beside the river, its root will be strong and it will give it fruits every time. It's the same in our life. It's the same a faith based on the truth that God has left for us. Will be a tree planted beside a river that will give its fruit every time. That is a faith based on the truth, not on the facts that the life brings to us. We can see in Samuel also, Samuel 31 to 27, 2 Samuel. No, 1 Samuel. It says another story there. This I'm sure you have read before. Huh? This story is when David and his army went out to fight, and when they came back, what's happened with the city? How do you call the city? Ziklag? What has happened with the city? The city was destroyed. Everything they had was stolen by the enemy, and there was left in nothing to David and his army. Everything was gone. The only thing was left was the fire and the destroyed things for them. What was the first thing they did in the verse number 4? The verse number 4 says the first thing they did. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. To weep or to weep? To weep. You see, what when they saw everything is destroyed, nothing has been left to us, the fact was there, and what they react based on the fact. The fact was, I had lost everything. So let's sit and let's cry and let's cry and let's cry until there is no strength more to cry. And that's what their faith was based in, that fact that they had lost everything. But they went to God. And when they went to God in that verse number 8, verse number 8 will say, they prayed and they asked God, what should we do? And the God answered to them, pursue them. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in bring back everything again. You see, this is a faith based in the truth of God. Now God is telling them, you go and you base your faith in this truth. And then you bring back everything again that belongs to you, that do not belong to your enemy anymore. Instead of being crying for the lost, they raise again and they found energy and a faith in the truth of God to follow their enemy and to bring back what the enemy had taken from them. They did not let that last for everything. God has given already the things we need before the fact happened. God has already provided what we need before we need it. God has already provided the heal we need before we become sick. God has already provided everything we need in this life before it happens. The Bible says, before the foundation of this world, God has prepared everything for us. And that is there in God's reality. Now is our faith to bring God's reality into our reality in this life. And to overcome the facts that we are holding for in our life into God's truth to our life. Once in Psalm 103, I think. Yes, 103, what David said there in the first three verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and the crowns you with love and compassion. David was speaking to whom here? To his soul. David was speaking to his soul, and David was telling his soul, praise God, because he has benefits to you. He can heal all your diseases. We, most of the time, we get sad. It's our spirit that is living, connect with God's spirit that is sad, or is our soul that is sad? It's our soul. And that is what God is calling, is David is talking to his soul, bringing in line his soul with God's spirit, living with him. And saying, now I live in God's reality. And the fact in my life I'm in today, the truth of God will overcome the fact I'm living today. If I'm living a situation that brings sadness to me, I will bring God's truth over the sadness and I will be happy. Because God's truth will overcome the fact I'm living my life today. Our faith has not to be based in the fact, but in the truth that God has for us. Every time we based, every time we look, or every time we believe, based in the fact the life brings, we fall down into doubts with God. But every time I based my faith in the truth that God has given to me, I will see God deliverance in my life. Jesus once had a discussion with some Jews in John 8, from the verse number 32-31, Jesus had a discussion with them. Number 31 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold my teachings, you are really my disciple. Oh, if you hold my truth, you become my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But in the verse number 33, and they answered him, and they said to Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? You see, these men, they were living the fact that they were descendants of Abraham. And they, because of this, they thought we are part of God's kingdom. We are part of God's family. And Jesus said, no, it's not this way. You need accept the truth. And the truth is, I will die on the cross and I will rose again on the third day. And everyone who confess my name and accept me as a savior, these are the ones who will be part of the kingdom of God. It's not because you are descendant of Abraham. That is a fact. This fact do not make you, will not allow you to be part of God's kingdom. But the truth that will set you free will allow you to be part of God's kingdom. You see the difference Jesus talking to these men? They were based in the fact of who they were. Of who they were, descendant of Abraham, the father of faith. The one that every single one knows about. But Jesus said, it's not this way. My truth has to overcome the fact in your life. And when the truth overcomes the fact in your life, will be when you'll be able to be part of God's kingdom. Mark 8, there is another passage there. When Jesus and the disciples, where with the multitude. And in the verse number 4, There was a discussion there, how can we give food to this multitude now, Jesus? And the verse number 4, his disciple answered, but where is the remote place? Can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves and do we have? Jesus asked. And the disciple said, we have seven bread. That was the fact. Huh? We have seven breads and 2 fishes. That was the fact they had in hand. That was what the disciples said to Jesus. We have this in hand. That is our fact. That is what we are living in. But Jesus, what he said, bring this to me. And as he prayed and blessed the bread, he said, now you go and give. And that was the multiplication. Because in God's truth, there was a provision for that 5,000 people. But in the fact of the disciple, there weren't the provision. But in God's, there was the provision already for that multitude. And when Jesus blessed the bread, Jesus gave to the disciple, and they went and they gave, and they fed the whole 5,000 or even more people present at that day. Because in God's truth, in God's reality, there was a provision for that reality. Within the man's, which in the disciples' reality, there wasn't provision. But in Jesus, there was. Once Jesus spoke to a man called Thomas. Did I say his name right? Thomas. Huh? In John. In John 20:24, where this man was lived on, he wants to see the fact. He said, the disciple came to him and said, Jesus rose again, Jesus is alive, Jesus is there. But what this man said to him, to them, I want to see the hands. Until I don't touch the hands and see the marks of the nails, I will not believe. Why? Because his faith was based in the fact, not in the truth. And when Jesus appeared to him, the first thing Jesus showed him was his hand. And I said, see my hands, in the verse number 26. Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. That was Jesus' answer for that man. The fact in life brings doubts, doesn't it? When the doctor says a sickness, a illness that can bring death to us without. Where is the healing God has promised in our life? The facts say one thing, but God says another thing. And it depends on me and on you. Where do we live today? Do we decide to live in the fact that everything I want to see, I want to evidence, I want to prove, I want to see it's really God, or I want to live believing without evidence that God is what he says he is? Hebrews 11:1 says what? Faith is not what we see, but is what we believe that is true. And that is how God is calling us to live. If every time we want to see evidences, we will not see. But if every time we believe, the truth will overcome the fact we are living in. The happiness will overcome the sadness. The healed body will overcome the sick body. The doubting, the believing will overcome the doubt in our life. The not having or needing the provision of God will overcome all this. And that is depend on me, on you, and you step into what God has given to us already. Habakkuk, did I say right his name? Habakkuk, in his book, he was looking at what? At the destruction of Jerusalem. By the time that the Babylons was overtaking Jerusalem, he was looking at his city being destroyed. And what he says in chapter 3, I think verse number 17. Chapter 3, verse from 17 to 19. He says, even through the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on vine. Through the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food. Through there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. He enables me. He does it. He says, even when there is no hope, I will decide to rejoice in God. Even when I see there is nothing, I will decide to stick and to stand in God's truth. Shammah, when he saw the army coming against him, and he saw his people behind him fleeing because of fear, he said, I will stand firm. I will fight and I will defend what I believe is truth for me in God. And it's all about our decision to step into and to stand firm in what God has given to us, or to live by the fact the life brings to us every day, the news brings to us every day. That is up to me and up to you. So I want just to leave this word with you. Keep it in your heart and be blessed in God. The day we decided not to live by the fact will be the day where I will see God doing amazing things in our life. The fact always said was when, last year when we came out of the country, the fact said to me, you cannot go in. You cannot go in. But I said to my wife, to Claude, one day I will go. And I will go, and what's happened, happened. And I went. And there was no problem. Because the evidence could say, you cannot go. But the truth of God says you can go. The evidence and the fact says we cannot be. But the truth of God says we can be what He has asked us to be or called us to be. Maybe the evidence says to you, I cannot share God's word. I cannot teach others. I cannot share God's salvation with others. That is the fact says. But the truth says you can do it. Moses, when God called him, he said what he told God, I cannot do. I cannot do. But God told him, you can do. Jeremiah, when God called him, he told, I am a child. But God told him, you can do. And as we step in God's truth, to live God's reality, we will see God's doing amazing things. When Moses' mother took him, he was maybe 3 years old, and put him where? Into a basket. And the cover closed it, put him in the river. Maybe, we don't know, the Bible does not say how the river was, how the distance was, if there was waves, if there was raining, we don't know anything. We just know that when his mother put him into a basket, God protected the basket until arrive in the right hand, in the palace. That is our life today. God has placed me and you into a basket. And whatever the life brings to us, whatever the storm brings to us, whatever the difficulties of life bring to us, God will keep us safe until the day we arrive into his palace. Unto the day we arrive in the place where he's preparing to us, John 14 says. And that is our life is the same as Moses' life into that basket that God kept saved. And are we sometimes doubting, are we make it? Are we going to arrive there? Yes, you are. We are. Why? Because God is protecting this basket. Doesn't matter how big the wave is. Doesn't matter how strong the storm is. Doesn't matter how difficult situations in life is. God will keep us saved until we arrive in our place that He has prepared for us. And that is God's truth. And that is how my faith should be based. If Moses' mother's faith was based in the fact that she would put her son into the river and let him go, she would not do it. But her faith was based in God's truth. God will protect Moses. And God will bring him into the right hand, into the right place. That is the palace. That is the daughter of Pharaoh. And that is what God is doing with us. He is bringing us into the right place that we should be and live there. So let's pray. And let's pray that God will keep us saved in this basket. That our faith will not be based on the evidence, will not be based in the fact that the life brings to us, but will be based in God's truth. Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Father, because you have put us into a basket, and whatever the water is, if the water is shaking, if the wave is strong, if the wind is strong, if the storm, the difficulties are strong, You will still keep us safe in you. Because you are our truth. You are the one who we want to be based our life in. We thank you, Father, because you are taking us to the right place. You said in your word that you are there preparing a home for us. And we thank you this morning because from now, from the day we accept you as our Lord and our Savior, we start walking back home. And whatever happens in this way, you will keep us alive. The same of that son, Father, that went out of his house, and on the way back he lost all his money. He went to eat with pigs. But you still protect him. And you still brought him to the place where you have prepared him to live. And I pray, Father, that we, every day we can be protected by your truth. That our faith will not be based in the facts of this life. But our faith will be based in the truth that you are. In the truth that you have been with us day by day. In Jesus' name, thank you for the day. Thank you for this morning. We bless already this week. We pray that this week is going to be the best ever week we have in you. We pray that you bless our life. We pray that you bless the work. We pray that you bless our families. We pray that you bless our children in the school. We pray, Father, that everything we do this week will be blessed by you. In Jesus' name. Until next Sunday, when we get together here again, we can praise you for the deliverance and for the protection you have given to us this week, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 So.